the Citizens' Assembly. You've heard it referred to before, but apparently considerable work is being done in relation to creating one here. Let me speak to Paul Braithwaite. And Paul is very much someone who is in favour of a Citizens' Assembly. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, just give me your full job description, Paul, and why you think a Citizens' Assembly is the way to go.
So I work for an organisation called the Building Change Trust, and we have put some money into a Citizens' Assembly experiment, which we hope will be run in Northern Ireland in 2018. So we've made a grant to an organisation called Involve, and they're specialists in public engagement and public participation. They've run these Citizens' Assemblies in other places, and so we've asked them if they'd like to try and run one in Northern Ireland. We've still got a bit of fundraising to do, but we're pretty confident we can get the funds in place. Basically, I mean, I suppose it's important to start with things that a Citizens' Assembly isn't. So it's not a replacement for the Northern Ireland elected assembly. It's not a replacement for government. It's not a replacement for elected institutions. It's also not an opinion poll. But what it is a randomly selected group of the general public. So it's very much different from other kind of previous government consultation exercises because of this random selection thing. So you basically choose, in our model, it's likely to be about 100 people, and you choose them in such a way that they represent the whole population of Northern Ireland in terms of age, in terms of gender, in terms of socioeconomic background, in terms of community background. So the idea being that if you were to get the whole of the population of Northern Ireland in a room and give them a topic to consider, if you gave them all of the information they needed, balanced opinion and evidence from a range of sources, give them time and space to think about it, to debate and deliberate, and then to form resolutions, that they would come up with the same answers as these 100 people would, because they are representative of the broader population. So that's the theory behind the Citizens' Assembly, and it's been shown to work to very good effect in the Republic of Ireland, but also there have been other examples in Canada, in Belgium, in the UK as well. For example, there was recently one done on Brexit in Manchester. So we're running this as an independent exercise. Obviously, the one in the Republic of Ireland is on a statutory footing. But a number of years ago, there was also an independent exercise down there, which got people's interest in it. So we're wondering if a similar process might be followed here. We're going to try it out. There's no cost to the public purse of the model that we're talking about, because we're putting the money into it. And we're just asking people to be open-minded and to see. The one that we're funding will be around a single topic. So the topic hasn't been picked yet. But it'll be around a single topic, it'll be a time-limited exercise, it'll make recommendations, and we're asking people to be open-minded, essentially, and see how it goes and make a judgment on it then about whether it's been useful in helping to break the deadlock around one particular issue.
Okay, so let's pick a topic. The topic is the Irish Language Act. 100 people sit down, they debate it and they discuss it, and they decide, yes, there should be an Irish Language Act, exactly the one that Sinn Féin's talking about. Do the DUP have to accept the outcome of it?
So two things to say about that. Number one, I think what this adds to the usual kind of political debate is that we move away from this idea that there are only binary options in relation to a whole bunch of these issues. It's the answers are often in the nuance, and you find that the public are actually much more sophisticated than they're given credit for. Secondly, though, in terms of the selection of the issue, it is obviously down to politicians to act upon the recommendations of any citizens' assembly. So whilst we would want to choose a topic where it's obviously contested and deadlocked, if we choose something that's so polarising that, you know, right from the start, no matter what it says, that one side is going to say, we're just going to ignore this, then that's probably not very useful, either in terms of that Citizens' Assembly or in terms of the future of this kind of exercise.
Yeah, but then what good is the Citizens' Assembly? What good is it then, Paul? Because it's only a talking shop if you're not going to do something with it, if you're not going to use it to leverage against the politicians. I use the Irish Language Act as an example. We're at loggerheads on that. If 100 people come together and they say, absolutely, we should go with the Irish Language Act, or vice versa, they say, no, the Irish Language Act, complete waste of money, let's not go with it. Should the politicians have to accept the decision of the Citizens' Assembly? If they don't, then we're just all wasting our time.
Well, I mean, essentially that's what I'm saying. The topic selection is really key. And if you choose something where the politicians are already saying from the start, we're just going to ignore this, which they can do because this is an independent exercise. It doesn't have any official status. So the topic selection is really key, and that's why we've been talking to all of the parties over the recent months. And I have to say the majority of MLAs are very positive about it. There is some understandable scepticism. There's some worry about the topic. I guess there's a lack of awareness out there as well about what it means. And so, you know, this thing about the random selection is a really key point to get across. But there's really no point in setting something up where it's just going to be, a further deepening of the adversarial nature of our politics. The idea is to get away from party political positions, to help people to engage with people that they don't agree with around an issue, to deliberate and to come to some sort of solution that can attract broad support.
Paul, do stay with me. I want to speak to Tina Calder as well, who's on the other line. Tina, good morning.
Good morning.
Very much a commentator on what's happening across Northern Ireland. Tina, commentator and writer. You know, Paul makes his pitch here, and I've questioned him on the one issue of the Irish Language Act being the example. He says it's not meant to add to the controversy. It's to give the citizens a greater say. He has a good point in that, doesn't he?
He does. And I have to say, Frank, that if we weren't in the current deadlock up at Stormont, I would be flying the flag for a citizens' assembly. I do think that in principle it's a great idea, but my issue at the moment is that we have voters across Northern Ireland who've democratically elected their officials who cannot actually make any decisions. And what this gives me a sense of is, as a voter, is that it's a bit of an insult to me, because I have actually voted for someone in there, whether or not the whole assembly went in the way that I personally would have liked. In terms of democracy, there is a group of people who have been elected to decide these things, to debate them and to take action, and they've let our entire country down, and there's no two ways of saying that. You know, the reality is we've got a lot of people who are very disillusioned by the political process. They're very disillusioned by the idea of compromise, because simply the people who are paid to do the job can't do it. And instead of we're kind of pulling names out of a hat. Now, where I'm finding a little bit of ambiguity is what Paul is saying is that they are chosen in terms of their background, where they're from, what they do, etc., 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 but that it is random. And what I can't understand is, how can you choose 100 people in terms of making sure that you've got a good spread of Northern Ireland and make it random? To me, those two things don't go hand in hand.
Paul, how do you do that?
Let me clarify that. So technically, it's a stratified random sample. So it's random, but you control for those factors. So that you say, so we ask a polling company to get us 100 people, and we say within those 100 people, we want it to be representative of the Northern Ireland public in terms of age, socioeconomic background, gender, and so on. But I'd just like to pick up on some of Tina's other points there as well. And, you know, Tina's right in the sense that I would be here making the case for a citizens' assembly even if the institutions are sitting. In fact, arguably even more so, because she's right in the sense that that's where it can be most effective. There's no there's no alternative to getting devolved government back. And in fact, we started these conversations back before the institutions collapsed. Having said that, though, there is potentially a place for it here, in that it could potentially take on a topic that has something to do with why the institutions collapsed in the first place. I think one of the things that this is getting at is the narrowness of our democratic model. So elections are, of course, a crucial part of democracy, and you say rightly that people have had their say and they've chosen their representatives, but we know that democracy is about much more than that. And elections don't really give us an awful lot of information about the nuance and the sophistication of people's positions around a whole range of issues. So it's you know... And unfortunately, the political system, the way it operates, I mean, everywhere, but particularly here, it tends to incentivize polarization around particular issues. So the point of this is to complement that, is to allow, because we know very often politicians take public positions either because their party has taken that position, or maybe just because that's their sense of the public mood. But we know that behind closed doors, they might say quite different things. And often they're looking for permission to step down from quite extreme positions. So I think this can be a help to politicians, to give them political space to think a bit differently. If you've got a representative group of the public saying, you know, this, think about it this way, or we would be happy with this solution. And one of the really good things about the evidence around citizens' assemblies from other places is that it shows that obviously not everybody gets their way in a citizens' assembly either, and not everybody will agree with the resolutions taken. But even the people who don't agree tend to support the process. They tend to say, yeah, okay, I didn't get what I wanted out of this, but I accept that this was a much better way of deciding. There's very strong evidence for that in terms of the other citizens' assemblies that have been done in different places. And that's ultimately what we need. You can't, you know, there's no kind of solution that's going to please everybody, but if people can see that a good process was followed, that there was good deliberation, that the equal information was given to everybody, and there was good ample opportunity for debate, then, you know, who could argue with that?
But the point, Paul, is, as Frank did say to you, you know, you're talking about wanting to, I suppose, break through some of the polarising issues. But if you're not going to choose the polarising issues, like the Irish Language Act, like the legacy issues, etc., even equal marriage, whatever those are, then how can it really give someone like me satisfaction that it is going to give, if Stormont comes back, some form of idea of how the public is thinking? Because it's those issues that we need to resolve, and as a voter, as a citizen of Northern Ireland, it's those big issues that I personally would want help with, that I personally would like to see some, I suppose, digging into and some real understanding. And for me, I'm concerned that the money would be spent on an issue that realistically should be sorted out in the Assembly. I mean, if we're talking about issues that the politicians may compromise on if they get a good recommendation from a Citizens' Assembly, then we have to ask ourselves the question is, why are they not already compromising? And how, and also, I mean, I know that, for example, using the Irish language as an example, there have been a number of alternatives presented and a number of compromise documents presented, and none have been even looked at from what I can gather. So the question really is, what can the Citizens' Assembly, I suppose, really deliver that our politicians are going to really take
well, let
take
me try
stock
to answer
of?
That to some extent. So I suppose the first thing that's important to say is that it won't be me or my organisation who's selecting the topic. There's going to be an independent steering group who'll pick the topic, and there's a series of criteria that have been set. So one of the most important criteria is that political action is probable or likely as a result. You know, so that's the reason why not to. Well, I mean, as I say, it's not a decision for me, but it may be the case that they won't pick one of the most polarising issues. But there's lots and lots of issues to choose from. Like, if you think about something like academic selection there, now that is a divided issue, it's a contested issue, it's a deadlocked issue, but maybe there's enough space there, maybe there's a widespread recognition that the current situation is unsatisfactory. Maybe that's the difference with some of the other issues. Some people are quite happy with the status quo around some of the more contested issues, you know, because you need to get the political parties to at least say, okay, we'll listen to this. Or maybe there's something around the operation of the institutions, like petition of concern or something like that, that could be looked at. So there is a sweet spot in the middle there. The most polarising issues, I mean, and I think cards on the table here, you know, we want to see this kind of thing done not just once, but more than once. And I think,
absolutely,
you know, so we want to see the method tried. We want to see the method being useful and can provide a really practical solution that will make a difference in the lives of people in Northern Ireland, but also something that can interact positively and constructively with the political system. So that's why we've been careful to engage with MLAs. But, you know, so there is a sweet spot in the middle there. I would say that, yeah, it may not be some of the most polarising issues, but there's lots of issues that are quite contested, quite divided and quite difficult, and that may be the kind of issue that the Citizens' Assembly could look at.
And I suppose the question is going to be, for an awful lot of people who are listening in today, is, well, how can I get involved? I'd love to be involved in something like that. Or, you know, so I suppose a lot of people are going to be sceptical as to how the 100 people are randomly selected. I know you said that it will be a polling company, marketing company or whatever. But I suppose there might be lots of people out there who think, you know, I'd love to get involved with that. I have such, you know, I have a lot to give.
Yeah,
is there any way that
it's really important.
Can?
Well, it's really important that it's not self-selected, because if you allowed people to just apply to get involved, then you would have a bias in one way or the other. So if you think about jury service, that's a useful equivalent, because we already use this kind of process for selecting jury. Now, you can't apply to go in jury service, you get selected. So if you like, anyone in Northern Ireland right now has an equal chance of being asked if they'd like to be involved in the Citizens' Assembly. But ultimately, it can only be about 100 people, because that's essentially all we can afford. So, you know, there's an even chance of anyone being asked, but unfortunately, no, you can't apply. And there is a simple reason for that, is because then it wouldn't be a representative sample of the Northern Ireland public, because obviously you'd have people who are more politically interested, you know, people who are more engaged in politics. And one of the key things that Citizens' Assembly does is that it also includes people who are previously disinterested in politics. I mean, if you look at the example in the Republic of Ireland, you know, it's the full breadth of people and of public opinion and of backgrounds and people politically active and not politically active who are involved in that. And that's what we want here as well.
So it's hugely important, Paul, to get the 100 people who represent all of the country. So we accept that you're going to make an effort to get the 100 people who represent all of the country. But after you get them together and you have your citizens' assembly and used academic selection as the example, is there not the possibility that they'll just emphasise the division, that we'll be back to square one? They will highlight how we are divided with regards to what to do with children at 11.
I don't think so, because I think there's lots of evidence to show that the public have much more nuanced and sophisticated positions than you know, election results or even media coverage.
Yeah, but if you take Paul, if you take any standard home in Northern Ireland and you asked three or four people in the House about academic selection, there isn't even agreement in a House about what's the best way to go. So how is discussing it among 100 people going to resolve, for example, academic selection?
It's maybe not just as simple as, you know, a binary position of yes or no. There's much more sophistication to that. You know, there's a question if you're in favour of getting rid of academic selection altogether, you know, what sort of system would come in place of that? You know, so there's lots of detail there to be gone through, and there's lots of expert evidence and research available that people just aren't aware of, don't have the opportunity to sit down and look at. You know, very often when the public are asked to decide, you know, for example, in a referendum campaign, they're given very limited sort of superficial information and asked to make an almost emotional decision based on what's available in, you know, major media outlets, whereas this is much more detailed. People are given written evidence, people are hear from speakers, they're given a chance to cross-examine them, you know, so there's an opportunity.
But they'll still be divided at the end. It's not as if the 100 are all going to go one way.
No, they won't all agree, but there is evidence to suggest that, well, some people will change their mind as a result. And yes, at the end, not everybody will agree. I mean, that would be an impossible achievement, and arguably you don't even want that, because in some of these questions there sometimes isn't a single right answer. There's just kind of, well, this is worth a try, and this is the consensus around what should be tried. So of course there'll be some sort of disagreement, but as I said previously, the evidence shows that even the people who don't get the outcome they want are much more likely to be satisfied with the outcome through this kind of process than they would through the kind of more traditional political decision-making processes where the public aren't really given a say. I mean, I think that's one of the really important things to say here, is that what this is really getting at is rebuilding public trust in the institutions in Northern Ireland. And the institutions, you know, have collapsed a number of times, and we think one of the things underlying that is an absence of public trust. And so whilst the devolved institutions may well get back up and running in coming months, and we hope they do, they need to address this issue of public trust. And the way to do that is to engage the public, because ultimately, you know, our political environment is an expression of the problems that we have in our society. And whilst it might be sometimes an extreme expression of that, you know, it's not just all the politicians' fault. And I know that's popular to kind of point the finger at politicians, and it's legitimate to expect them to do absolutely everything they can to get the institutions back in business, but it's also everybody's responsibility to help to resolve those issues.
Okay,
and it's our responsibility, right. And it's also our right to be involved.
Okay, it is your right to be involved, but it's also, you know, 100 people, it's going to cost money, and I've avoided the most obvious term, but I'll use it now having listened to you, it runs the risk of being a talking shop.
Well, it won't cost any money to the public purse because we're going to fund this first one independently. So if you like, Northern Ireland gets to see to try it out for free for the first time, if you like. And then they can decide whether it's good value for money to put it on a statutory footing and use this kind of instrument in future.
How much do you get for being a citizen member of the Citizens' Assembly?
Well, I'm not sure that's actually been pinned down yet. So there isn't, you don't get paid per se, but there
you
is...
You don't get paid?
There's likely to be a stipend. So your time will be compensated to some extent because now different models have been done different ways. So in the Republic of Ireland, for example, people aren't paid anything at all, but they are put up in a nice hotel and they're treated well and so on. So in this model, we think in order to make sure it's accessible for people from all socioeconomic backgrounds in particular, that there needs to be a small stipend. For example, it'll be at the weekend and, you know, it could be that somebody needs to miss a day of work as a result of that. There's obviously childcare costs and things like that to take into account. So it'll be a small stipend, but it's not a salary.
Okay. Paul, really appreciate you highlighting it with us. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Tina, appreciate your input. Thank you very much, Tina.
Thank you.
Time's running away on us. Do let us know, has it been sold to you, the Citizens' Assembly? Would you be mad keen to be part of it, or do you think that you'd be wasting your time? Do let us know. 90 333 105.